Canto 3, Chapter 15, Text Number 46. 3:15:46. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Little background of the context. We're in Vaikuntha with the four Kumaras at the gates of Vaikuntha, looking like little naked infants, small boys. Giant Bijai prevented them from entering. The four Kumaras were unhappy, and by inspiration of the personality of Godhead, they spoke strongly. And you don't belong in the spiritual world. You don't know who is qualified, not qualified. We curse you. You go to the material world. And they gave option, and they opted for three lifetimes as demons, and then Lord Narayana, coming to know, because he's omniscient, of this event, which he arranged by his internal potency, he came to that very place. And the description of the form of Narayana, there are many verses that present his form. Then Shukadeva Goswami comments about the importance of meditating upon the form of the Lord, the yogis, and anyone else. That's the culmination, the goal, and the benefit that comes from one who has that experience, seeing the form of the Lord, and the incompleteness of anything that doesn't have that objective. So now this verse is the learned Kumaras attracted to the previous verses, saying attracted to the form and the fragrance of the lotus feet combined, mixed with the sandalwood and tulsi at the feet of the Supreme Lord, they were ecstatic. And now they're expressing, directly offering, you can say, offering prayers or words of gratitude to the Supreme Lord for his showing his form, because he didn't have to. He doesn't have to, but he did. And so they're very grateful. And they're expressing that. So that's Kumara Uchuhu. The Kumaras said, "Our dear Lord, you are not manifested to rascals." Prabhupada's words. Duratmanam. Duratmanam. Souls that are dura. Very hard, very difficult, rascal. Even though you are seated within the heart of everyone. But as far as we are concerned, we see you face to face. Although you are unlimited, the statements we have heard about you from our father, who is the father? Brahma. Through the ears, have now been actually realized by your kind appearance. purport. The so-called yogis who concentrate their mind or meditate upon the impersonal or void are described here. This verse of Srimad Bhagavatam describes persons who are expected to be very expert yogis engaged in meditation, but who do not find the Supreme Personality of Godhead seated within the heart. These persons are described here as Duratma, which means a person who has a very crooked heart, or a less intelligent person, just the opposite of Mahatma, which means one who has a broad heart. Those so-called yogis who, although engaged in meditation, are not broad-hearted, cannot find the four-handed Narayana form, even though he is seated within their heart. Although the first realization of the Supreme Absolute Truth is impersonal Brahman, one should not remain satisfied with experiencing the impersonal effulgence of the Supreme Lord. In the Ishopanishad also, the devotee prays that the glaring effulgence of Brahman may be removed from his eyes so that he can see the real personal feature of the Lord and thus satisfy himself fully. Similarly, although the Lord is not visible in the beginning because of his glaring bodily effulgence, if a devotee sincerely wants to see him, the Lord is revealed to him. It is said in Bhagavad Gita that the Lord cannot be seen by our imperfect eyes, he cannot be heard by our imperfect ears, and he cannot be experienced by our imperfect senses. But if one engages in devotional service with faith and devotion, then God reveals himself. And second paragraph. Here the four sages, Sanat Kumar, Sanatana, Sananda, and Sanaka, are described as actually sincere devotees. Although they heard from their father Brahma about the personal feature of the Lord, only the impersonal feature Brahman was revealed to them. But because they were sincerely searching for the Lord, they finally saw his personal feature directly, which corresponded with the description given by their father. Thus, they became fully satisfied. Here, they expressed their gratitude because, although they were foolish impersonalists in the beginning, by the grace of the Lord, they could now have the good fortune to see his personal feature. Another significant aspect of this verse is that the sages describe their experience of hearing from their father Brahma, who was born of the Lord directly. In other words, the disciplic succession from the Lord to Brahma and from Brahma to Narada and from Narada to Vyasa and so on is accepted here. Because the Kumaras were sons of Brahma, they had the opportunity to learn Vedic knowledge from the disciplic succession of Brahma. And therefore, in spite of their impersonalist beginnings, they became, in the end, direct seers of the personal feature of the Lord. Several things. Disciplic succession on the one hand, they're in disciplic succession from Brahma, but they're also identified as the head of another sampradaya that's not the Brahma sampradaya. But if I'm not mistaken, they heard directly from Hansa avatar, and they heard directly from the Supreme Lord, and thus they have their own sampradaya. So they have two sampradayas. In either case, the principle of disciplic succession is being emphasized, because without that descending mercy, how is one to know the unknowable? Conversely, through disciplic succession, one can know the unknowable. Unknowable means, in the material sense, not knowable by empiric method, by scholarship and speculation and the ascending process. Not knowable in that sense. Knowable in the sense of descending process through the disciplic succession. Otherwise, Krishna's words in Bhagavad Gita are meaningless. Janma karma chame divyam evam yoveti tatvataha. If you, to know Krishna tatvataha in truth, punar janma na. Mameti. So you can know Krishna. The unknowable can be known. There's a method. And there's some other methods that are unsuccessful. In one sense you can say, nice try. Another sense you can say, misguided. In another sense, you can say, Duratma. Duratma. So we have three different meanings. Duratma, rascal. And that's what's in the word for word. It's in the verse, Duratma. In the purport, we have two other meanings. A person who has a very crooked heart. What's it? Crooked heart. Deceptive. I really want to know, but I don't really want to know. I want to be the Supreme. For example, Patanjali. For your information, Patanjali is well known in the yoga circuit. What do people know about Patanjali? They know from the internet, and they know from their yoga teacher, but they don't really know. They have cursory knowledge, you know. If you really want to know something, don't go to Google. Because it's just made up of people that don't know, and they put something up and then they post it. You know, it's directionally over that way, but it's not really authoritative. Be careful. Devotees, if you want to, when you go to Google to look, to learn, you know, from Google Guru, be aware it's conditioned souls posting stuff. They don't know. And we may take it as they know, because it goes on. They don't have authority, so they go to Google, and Google tells them. And then they have to revise and refine and change it. Some people, anyway, there's a whole system of who gets to post what on Google. Careful. So from their teacher, from Google, or wherever they get it, Patanjali has a teaching where he teaches meditation on Supersoul. And you know what? The goal is to become super soul. No. Yes. That's the goal. That's what he's specific. Atma, Paramatma, become Paramatma. And then you become Mahatma. You become a great Atma. Paramatma, in fact. Become one with Paramatma. Sayuja. Of the two types, according to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Sayuja Mukti has two types. One is merging with the effulgence of the Lord. The other is merging with the body of the Lord. Of the two, merging with the body of the Lord is more abominable, and that's what Patanjali teaches. Watch out. And people out there in Yoga Land don't know. Most of the time, they don't even know that he teaches there's Paramatma. They don't read Bhagavad Gita. So, Bhagavatam is helping to, you know, watch out for the, not only the potholes, but the ditch. Stay on the path of bhakti. So, the Kumaras are speaking Duratma. Their hearts are crooked. So the opposite of crooked is straight or well, that's the second definition. I just want to stay with this second one. There should be a third definition. Not so saralata. There's no intention of deception. In Jiva Goswami's writing on bhakti, bhakti sandarbha, it's one of the first symptoms of anartha is that one is deceptive. So the opposite of deceptive is one is very straightforward. Satyam, honest. It's one of the qualities of a brahmana. It's in Bhaktisiddhanta's essay on Vaishnavism and Brahmanism, the foremost quality of a brahmana is truthful. And he refers to Satyakama Jabala and Gautama, that story. Don't deviate from the truth. So you speak the truth. You don't deceive. What this means is, the inference is, we're all deceivers. And it starts with deceiving ourselves. And then, from deceiving ourselves, intentionally or unintentionally or both, we deceive others. You know, more crooked is deceiving others. And it's a little delicate to point this out when someone is deceiving themselves and deceiving others. You can't do that unless you have the proper relationship with people. I've had this, you know, in the role of spiritual master to help somebody very gently and slowly and repeatedly help them understand that this is a blind spot for them. You know, and sometimes it's recoiling, but, you know, sometimes it's, wow. So that's from this anatomy of anartha issue. It's a manifestation of anartha. It's not something wanted. It's something unwanted. It's the first symptom of anartha, according to Jiva Goswami. Self-deception or deception. Crooked. Duratma. And the Duratma can't see. They can't see. Because they see the crookedness. They see they see the through the lens of crooked. They can't see. And then the third meaning is broad-minded. Another term that Prabhupada uses that makes this contrast broad-minded, Brahmana and Kripana. Kripana is miser. Narrow-minded. Gee, I know a few narrow-minded people. And there are some broad-minded people. And broad-minded people aren't necessarily perfect. Like Gauravani's question yesterday about acharya, is it possible that someone can be an acharya that's not at the level of Prabhupada, but they're also acharya? And yes, it's not at the mature stage yet, just like daivim prakritam ashrita. Daivim prakritam is the internal potency. That's Radharani. And Radharani dispenses, through her expansion of Bhakti Devi, devotional service. Someone sincerely, the strict follower was Prabhupada's term, the strict follower is one who's not there, but they will get there. That's the Mahatma. Daivim Prakritam Ashrita. Mahatmanas to Mam Partha, Daivim Prakritam Ashrita. Bhajanti Ananya Manaso. And that person can know Krishna. So we're getting this, it's kind of slow motion picture of the Kumaras. How can they be heads of Sampradaya? How can they have the opportunity here from Hansa Avatar and directly see Narayana without being devotees? They're devotees. They didn't exactly become devotees. They became devotees. Their devotion was awakened by hearing from Brahma. But it wasn't mature yet. But it was in their heart. And for that reason, the Supreme Lord orchestrated all of this. They came to the gates of Vaikuntha because he's in the hearts of the Kumaras. They weren't, it's specific in the earlier chapters, they weren't going purposefully to have darshan of Lord Narayan. Like, you know, go to the temple to see the deity it's explained. They're like little children. They were perfected beings in the Brahman stage. Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma Nasochati Nakang. So they weren't hankering, lamenting anything. They were Brahman realized. So their going to Vaikuntha wasn't purposeful. It was just, the expression is given, like child will go here and there out of curiosity. What's here? What's there? They're not, you know, what's their mission? Curiosity. Discovering the world around them. Like that, the Kumaras went to the gates of Vaikuntha. No, there was a plan of the Supreme Lord, and that was to fulfill what was already in their heart that was awakened by hearing from Brahma, who heard directly from Krishna. Tene Brahma Hridaya Adikavaye. Hearing from Krishna that was in their heart but not yet matured. So they were already devotees, just not matured devotees, and reciprocating with that which was in their heart, they really got a lot of mercy. And they're expressing their gratitude. He who is rarely seen even by very elevated yogis who are Duratmas, they're disciplined. I mean, there's yogis that aren't, but they're those who are mind-controlled, sense-controlled, etc., etc., but their mind doesn't become attracted to and fixed upon Narayana or Vishnu, who is the expansion of Narayana. So that's another detail here. The yogis meditate on Vishnu, but Vishnu is an expansion of Narayana, so it's perfectly okay to say meditating on Narayana. maybe it's a little harsh calling those people that do meditation, that don't know, and that they, if they haven't come in contact with the Bhaktivedanta purports or Srimad Bhagavatam or Vaishnava teachings, they don't know. And here they're being called Dharatmas. But, you know, some persons want to know, and they know that they don't know. I've met some people, college students in the past month, in visiting colleges. They know that they don't know, and they want to know. They're doing something that they know is limited, and they want to go beyond the limited, because they picked up something on Google. And their experience is there's something, but it's limited, and they want to go beyond it. And they don't want the temporary. They don't want the, you know, they're very graphic about what they don't want. And it's not just, you know, become one with Brahman, or, you know, become free from the misery of material existence, not just escapism. Not that kind. It's they want to know. There are people out there today, I'm reporting to you, they want to know. And they just don't know where to go to find out. So they go to wherever they go to. They go to a teacher. They go to books. They read. I've been practicing Krishna consciousness now for a few years. And there was a period of time, maybe about 20 so or so years, there just was an interest in spirituality. It was, you know, it was a desert. They were interested in material well-being, job security, you know, and then if there was some interest, it was just kind of like the perk that helps you become more prosperous. That was their interest. Piety that builds punya, that helps you become more prosperous. Whole generation, couple of decades of that. And now, and it's not just young people, it's like big with young people, but it's also some older people, and you know, they're the light's on, they want to know. And they know they don't know. Now there's a lot of people that don't want to know, and they don't know they don't know. They think they know. I met some of those too. The process of bhakti is auspicious for everybody. But it's especially pleasing to be an instrument to help the person who wants to know to get connected with the means for them to know. Very, very, very satisfying. And then there's a little journey of, you know, attached to this and that and all those things, you know, attached to the temporary affinity. So back to the verse, the Dharatmas are those that are doing something, but they're not fortunate. And here the Kumaras are saying, how fortunate. And I want to say one other thing, and I'm going to finish. I'm surprised that Prabhupada didn't speak about the beginning of knowing is hearing, that is to say, it's sufficient. Say it negatively. It's not that you haven't completed the process of bhakti unless you have an experience like the Kumaras do or did here. They see Narayana. Have you seen God? And then Prabhupada's answer to that many times is that process of hearing, excuse me, the process of seeing is through the ear. The first seeing is through the ear. And that seeing through the ear is not different than seeing through the eye, it's just a different instrument. Because the eye, we value our eyes, seeing things, but they're defective. And the ear is defective, So the awakening, it's when this, the form of the Lord touches the seat of consciousness, that's seeing through the ear is the first one. You see, assuming it again and again, you see first through the ear. Just like during this festival of the Holy Name and Japa retreats, and the same Vacha and Vachaka. The form of the name and the form of the Swarup are the same. Namarupa and Swarupa, they're the same. It's not two different things. It's one thing. So the Lord may manifest this way, the Lord may manifest that way, but that's, you know, seeing. It's the same. So he didn't make that emphasis. I'm surprised. Because it's really important. That is to say, I know devotees who, there's nothing wrong with this, but, you know, I want to see Krishna. And, you know, the message is, hear Krishna, then you'll see Krishna. Krishna will reveal his form as he so desires. But hearing Krishna, that's the same as seeing Krishna. And when the two, when one becomes qualified to hear the form of Krishna, then the heart is completely satisfied. As much as seeing Krishna. And Krishna reveal himself to such a devotee. It may not, you know, it may be whenever he wants it to be. It may not be today. It may not be tomorrow. But he will reveal his form because the devotee has that love. He reveals unto those who have that love. And that's how our love, loving service is through sound. So serve the sound. You serve Krishna. You realize Krishna. In his, you know, to our capacity, in his fullness, including his form, his namarupa and his svarupa, his vacha and vachaka. Okay, so any discussion? Srimad Bhagavatam is really nice, isn't it? Yes.
Yeah, the last point that you were mentioning, serving the sound, is serving the holy name. That's
yes.
The Namrasa series of lectures were really amazing.
Yes.
So initially, it was hard to get that, okay, serving the name, how do we serve and all that. But gradually, what I'm understanding is that serving the name means hearing and engaging the senses in, to hear the holy name. That's where we begin. I'm getting to understand that serving the name is through engaging the tongue and engaging the ears in hearing the holy name. That's where I start, and then it enters into the heart, and gradually the purification happens. Is that right understanding?
You're seeking verification if your understanding is... We're all individual. And our realization of that message is going to be individual. So, check the box. It's okay. The essence is in that same purport, Adi Lila, Chapter 8, Text 16, where the form and the name are different. Excuse me, are non-different. The form and the name are non-different. Abhinatvam nama namino. So when you're serving the name, you are serving Krishna. So how to serve the name is your question. What does it mean? What does it feel like? We have a relationship, eternal relationship with Krishna, which is dormant. And we're chanting. And that name is how Krishna is making himself accessible to us, even our relationship is dormant. Namna makari bahudan. So he's so merciful. He made himself available to us, even we're not at all qualified. He's making himself available. So we serve the name. It's who we are. We're servants of Krishna eternally. So you serve the name. It's not different than Krishna. That's the connector. The name and the person aren't different. Not, you know, this to get to there. So the awakening of the consciousness that the name and the person are non-different, it's gradual because it requires quality hearing different than mechanical, or, you know, what we're accustomed to, material consciousness hearing chanting, making sounds. Serve the name that way. And then all the things that you do, your family, your work, the community, this and that, your bathing, you know, you're taking care of your everything. It's service to the name. When that consciousness awakens that I'm Krishna's eternal servant, I'm the servant of the name, it expands to everything. The consciousness of being Krishna's eternal servant expands everything through sound. So, yes. And the nexus, the connection is the name and the person are not different. Yes.
Guru Maharaj, my work, I have one person who studies Srimad Bhagavatam. He is from Iran, Muslim background, but he knows he is not the body and all. So he started studying Prabhupada, but he is becoming impatient. I can't see God.
I've had the experience with another Iranian that was their thing, too. So what does seeing mean? And what is qualification to see? How long have you been in this conditioned state covered? So there's a price to pay for that misuse of free will for who knows how many lifetimes. So you have to be patient. And if you're impatient, then it's on your terms, right? And that's not how it works. That's something that's in the heart that needs to be removed. And until it gets removed, you're not qualified to see. And then the seeing, so the and the seeing is through sound. Start there. Okay, I want to see through sound. Okay, then cleanse.
I'm seeking clarification to apply some principle in my own.
Your voice is too soft. Can you turn up the volume a little bit? Apply what?
Confused about in two instructions to follow that now being straightforward, I'm trying to understand actually because as you are saying, like, you know, my husband was also saying for chanting, hearing is the most important thing.
Chanting is what?
While chanting, hearing is the most important thing.
Yeah.
So but I feel that that hearing will be, you know, I can pay attention on hearing only when I have proper atmosphere, like, you know, proper relationships with anything affects that hearing. If at all I don't have proper relationship with others and any kind of thing affects my hearing. So if at all I'm disturbed with some, you know, behaviors of others or something, and there is something that I heard that don't keep anything in the heart and, you know, just try to reveal it to them as taking responsibility for yourself, and clarify it and then just go forward. But also I heard that by we don't know how the other person will take it, and have patience and, you know, just tolerate whatever is coming. So I'm not able to understand, like, you know, how to really apply those things.
Well, here's a couple of responses. That which can, the intelligence is the factor of discrimination. So what you're saying, in other words, is my intelligence is insufficient to understand, turn left or turn right, do this or do that, be patient or speak or whatever. Where does intelligence come from? That kind of intelligence comes from Krishna. So where should, when you find yourself in that space, which is most of us, not just you, what do? You have to go to Krishna. And in what mood do you go to Krishna? In the mood of being his servant, not in the mood of he is the order supplier. In the mood of service. And how does that become strengthened? By proper hearing. So, bhakti can carry you, service to Krishna mood, bhakti, can carry you beyond that space. You can vacillate between this and that and be, you know, or you can go to the horse that pulls the cart. That's the bhakti principle. And the practice of the bhakti principle is, exactly as you said, the main business is hearing, and how to hear is the mood of service to the sound. Now, it takes some discipline, because your statement is, I can't hear, that is, my mind becomes distracted, as the mind becomes distracted by stuff, unsettled something. So my mind goes to the unsettled somethings. Are you the controller? So let go of the controller mentality. You're not the control. You're not, your assignment is not to fix people. Your assignment is to become pure in heart, and the pure in heart is through the medium of bhakti. And then it's up to Krishna to give you the intelligence, whether you turn left or right, whether you do this or that. In different circumstances it can be left, and some circumstances it can be right. And without that intelligence, which comes from bhakti, Krishna gives to such devotees, yena mamopiyantite. How to get to Krishna. Because that's the goal. So, rise above that struggle of hearing, because I'm distracted by stuff, the duality that's out there. To just try, strive, cultivate the mood of service to the name. And then that mood of service to the name will empower hearing. Bhakti Siddhanta's teaching is that's the spiritual ear. You know, some people these days out there in the spiritual marketplace, they call it the third eye. Like, what's that? You know, it's seeing with spiritual vision, and the seeing with spiritual vision comes from hearing through sound. That's the Vedic process, the third eye. Then you can see spiritually. you can, you, your intelligence is, comes from Krishna, how to do this and that. And if you're in that space where you don't know this or that, you turn your attention, in any case, whether you're going, supposing Krishna does give the intelligence, don't forget Krishna, don't forget that mood of serving Krishna. Turn left or turn right, it's for the service to Krishna. You go right to the root. That's the bhakti process. It's something like, because I was thinking about this from recently being in an Ayurvedic clinic, which one of the differences between allopathy and Ayurveda. Allopathy deals with symptoms, and Ayurveda deals with the root, the cause behind the illness, not just symptoms and treat the symptoms. So what's the root cause of our material existence? We turned our attention away from Krishna. The solution to that dilemma is you turn your attention to Krishna. Otherwise, you're not going to get a solution. You'll remain spinning your wheels in the mud. You've had that experience before? I have. We were visiting, a vivid memory is attending some, it was a Rath Yatra in Gitanagari, and it rained. So all the cars were parked in that field, the pasture. And everybody couldn't get out of the pasture because it was, the pasture became muddy and spinned the wheels and it just threw mud all over the place. And you know, he just got deeper and 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 deeper. Then some people figured out how to get out of the mud. They had to put something underneath the wheel that gave traction so you could get out of the mud. So then with that, you know, then people got cardboard from the kitchen and some people had, anyway, so different things. A cloth, a wool blanket, that, you know, and then put that down so that you could get traction, get out of the mud. But you're going to be in the mud, spinning your wheels with the mud flying all over the place. If you just, like, try to get that discerning capacity going. Very frustrating. So that's, so there's, just like this iceberg example you saw yesterday, there's the behavior, and it's describing some behaviors, and behaviors are resting upon values, but it's got to rest upon something else. And the bhakti process is to wake into something else. So you just go there. And it doesn't happen quickly. It's a cultivation process. Keep going there. With faith. Find out, if you do that, you'll find out what the nature of your favorite distractions are. You've identified some. And so to overcome them, you have to go to this other place. Otherwise, you'll be an old lady and still be spinning your wheels. It's a choice. Not a lovely one, option-wise. Sincere. Not a statement about insincere. Fortunately, you know, we have the association of Srimad Bhagavatam and acharyas that teach us Srimad Bhagavatam in a transparent way. So that's another, just continue hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. Then you, it stimulates, it cleanses and stimulates. Removes the material stuff and awakens the spiritual. Srinvata Svakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana Ridyantaksto Yabhadrani. The abhadras are dissipated. One of the abhadras is I'm the doer. I'm the fixer of people's problems. Good intention, not who we are. It's an important lesson. You keep going. You're doing very well. Keep going. Go to this other place. Again and again and again. Cultivate it again and again and again. It becomes second nature. And then Krishna will give the intelligence, turn left or right. You become Krishna's instrument instead of mixed. Something else? Okay, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.